Hello and welcome to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast. I am your host, Lee Younger from Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And we are back this week with some more emails from Tom Job. Now, if you don't know, every week our pastor Tom writes something to the whole church. It's kind of the beginning of our weekly email with church-wide announcements and stuff like that. But this is just something from his heart to us, just something to think about, maybe something to laugh about, and definitely something to be encouraged by. And so we're going to pass it off, let him read a few of those emails, and we think it'll be encouraging to you as well. So here's Tom.
Hey everyone, happy holiday. Hope you're having an awesome holiday today. Oh, you didn't know? Today is Abraham Lincoln's 200th birthday, February the 12th, 1809. It must have been cold in that tiny log cabin in Sinking Springs Farm in Hodgensville, Kentucky, on that February morning. Happy birthday to Abe Lincoln, everybody. I really love reading books about Abraham Lincoln. I always have. I really love that guy. There are a lot of people who feel that way about old Abe. Though some may be a little over the top, all over America, there are those who make their living by imitating him. They glue their beards on, put on their black coats, bow ties, and top hats, and head off for state fairs all over the country. Recently in Lexington, at the convention for the Association of Lincoln Presenters, 37 Lincolns traded their Lincoln tips and tricks for the whole weekend. The ALP has 116 certified members, including 59 Abes. They're also called Linkarnations. And 7 Mary Todd Lincolns, or as they call them, Mary Toddlings. Their motto is, "Now he belongs to the stages." One of them, named Homer, from Jasper, Georgia, right next to the Young Life camp there, thinks it's particularly appropriate that he is a Lincoln impersonator because he has counted 32 amazing coincidences between himself and the 16th president, such as, "I recited the Gettysburg Address in the 6th grade." Wow, bet that's never happened before. "And I worked for Lyndon Johnson. Lincoln's successor was Andrew Johnson." What? "The statue of Lincoln in the Lincoln Memorial was carved from marble that came from the county where I live in North Georgia." He thought this was amazing. "Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth. I had some surgery done in 1989 by Dr. Arnold Booth in Atlanta." Or also this amazing fact, "Both of us walked to school." That's a little less amazing when you realize that school buses hadn't been invented in little Abe's day. How about this? "Lincoln's boot size was 12. So is mine. I didn't know that Lincoln wore size 12. But it does make sense. Abraham Lincoln was our tallest U.S. president at 6'4". Here are some other amazing facts that you might want to share with your friends on this special day. Old Abe didn't like to be called Old Abe or Honest Abe or even Abe for that matter. He always signed stuff A. Lincoln. He was the first president to have a beard. He only had it for 4 years and the only one to have a beard without a mustache. He went to about 3 months of school, but became a really successful self-taught lawyer, and he tried cases before the Illinois Supreme Court over 400 times. When Lincoln went to Ford's Theater for the last time, he had $5 of Confederate money in his pocket. He also had in that pocket some eyeglasses repaired with a piece of string. And he also had some old beat-up newspaper clippings that praised him for his accomplishments. That's a sad thought. Abraham Lincoln was one of the most amazing and beloved Americans ever. We all know this. But in those days, many didn't. Many made fun of him. Others really hated and ridiculed him. At times, he seemed to be all alone in decisions that he had to face and to make. Someone said once that it's kind of sad to imagine tired and weary Abraham Lincoln sitting alone by a lantern late at night with some old strung-together glasses propped up on his nose, reading cut-out newspaper articles over and over, trying to convince himself that someone cared, that someone believed in him, that someone would remember him. Maybe even that someone loved him. You've had those days, haven't you? Maybe you're having one today, wishing that someone noticed the stuff you do, wishing that someone cared, that someone believed that you could do it, that someone would be less free with their criticism, that someone believed in you. Want something to put in your pocket that you can pull out and read when you need to? Something better than old newspaper articles with your name tucked inside it? Why not scribble down Colossians 3:12 on a scrap of paper and carry it around? When you're having one of those moments, you can pull it out and read it. Listen to this. Therefore, as those chosen by God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Did you catch that? Chosen by God, holy, beloved. When somebody thinks you're a doofus, when you feel criticized for breathing, when you can't seem to do anything right in some people's opinion, God says you're beloved. He looks down on you and he loves what he sees. God says you're holy. Among other things, it means special. In his heart, there's no one like you. And after reading amazing facts about President Lincoln, here's an amazing fact about you. You've been chosen by God. It's almost impossible to understand all of that, but it means that before the world was made, he wanted you. Hey, be encouraged today, because you're chosen by God. That's even better than being elected President of the United States. But I'm thankful A. Lincoln was. Hope you enjoy his birthday. Hey everyone, welcome to your Friday CCC email. This is the place to look for weather. Continued mild with lows near 60 degrees, mostly cloudy with isolated chance for showers for your Friday. It's the place to look for humor. So the doctor said, I've got some bad news and some good news. Well, what's the bad news? You only have 1 week to live. Well, what's the good news? I got a hole in one last week. It's the place to look for encouragement. Here's an awesome verse. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. Habakkuk chapter 3. And your Friday CCC email is also the place to look for political commentary. What? You? You don't even have an opinion about politics. Yeah, well, I might have one today. As we have watched our candidates candidate themselves, it has been tough for me. So much yelling and unkindness. I know that many Christians are thinking that it's important to find which one will defend Christian values. Well, here are some Christian values that really matter tons. This comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Let no hurtful or critical word come out of your mouth. The word critical is really the Greek word rotten. But only words that build up and encourage, giving grace to those who listen. Not one critical word. But wait, there's more. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Ephesians chapter 4. The word brawling is the Greek word for yelling. The word slander is a Greek word that means name calling. Don't call anyone a bad name. The word malice means doing or saying something just to hurt someone. Now, there are some Christian values for you. I know I like them a lot. This political stuff has been so sad for me. But there may be an upside to all of this, however. I've been doing a lot of reading lately about what psychologists and sociologists call shame. Shame is the feeling inside that says, you're a bad person, unworthy of being loved or included. I'm convinced, the more I read, that the only lasting answer to this feeling is a living faith in Jesus and a growing understanding of what he came to offer to anyone who wants it. He gives it every time to the one who feels the need for relief from shame that grows within and who wants the gift of inclusion and worthiness that only he can give. One interesting thing that these researchers consistently say is that those who feel lots of shame try to process it and diminish it within themselves by judging and shaming others. People criticize and judge and say unkind and hurtful things about others because they feel so bad about themselves. As they say, shamed people shame people. So maybe that's what's been going on in all of these accusations and judging others' hearts and motives and in all this name-calling in politics today. Maybe many of those campaigning by cam-shaming actually feel shame within themselves and are trying to get rid of it by shaming others. The only problem is, experts say that shaming others doesn't diminish the shame that a person feels. Instead, it increases it. It makes the person who deals it out feel worse about themselves and not better. I've been so concerned that the way some of our politicians and their friends talk to and about others might just become more and more the normal, acceptable, outrageous, and shameful way people across America share opinions. It surely has encouraged many around our country to talk in bitter and judgmental ways. But maybe as more and more people talk in increasingly shaming ways, experts tell us that their own shame will grow. And even if they don't realize that it's coming from the way they talk about and try to shame others, maybe their shame within will reach a level that they will know that they need help with their own feelings and fears of being unloved and not included. Maybe more and more people will become convinced that their only hope is Jesus for all the shame they feel. And more people will believe in him. And believing in him, they will stop talking in such hateful, hurtful ways. And we will never have to listen to what we've been listening to all these weeks again. It will be the end of our national unkindness, because there will be so many brothers and sisters in Christ across America that people would treat each other with the love, understanding, and respect that our Master asks of us. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, everyone. Hope you're having an awesome, joyous, praise-filled Friday. It's going to be a beautiful day. And if your plans include, hang on a second, I need to do better than hope you're having this or that kind of day. It's one thing to hope something, and another thing to offer some real help in how to have a day like that. Let's see, what would help? Oh, here's something. I remember this woman who was talking about her mom. Seems that her parents were missionaries in Africa. It was tough there. Most of the years, they served in extreme rural conditions, and they didn't even have electricity, let alone AC. But her mom and dad always had the sunniest of attitudes and seemed to make every day an awesome, joyous, praise-filled one. This young woman, with days filled with kids, dirty dishes, stinky diapers, wondered how her mom did it. How was she always so cheerful? When her mom died, the daughter discovered her mother's secret. Reading one of her mom's journals, she found that inside the front cover, she wrote three rules for the heart. 1, never complain about anything ever. This includes the weather. 2, never compare your life with that of anyone else. 3, never wish your life was in any way different from what it actually is. Wow. No complaining, no comparing, no pointless wishing. That may not tell you what to do to have an awesome, joyous, praise-filled Friday, but it will tell you what not to do to make sure you won't not have one if you do them. Did I say that right?
Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art, and I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and my beauty fills my soul, for by thy transforming power thou hast made me whole. Oh, how great thy loving kindness, vaster, broader than the sea. Earth's dark shadows fall.